now. ArtsLink on CJSW 90.9 FM. Hello, this is Nathan Taylor for ArtsLink, broadcasting from the University of Calgary and on Treaty 7 lands. On the show this month, we're going to be talking about an in-development movie that's going to be hosting a live script reading at the Calgary Underground Film Festival. And I have a short piece on a Senegalese film I saw as part of the Black Film Archive website. But first, Forte Musical Theatre is celebrating 15 years of musicals with a show that celebrates the work of and examines the life of founding member Joe Slabey. It's called Buy Me a Drink, Joe, and it's playing at C-Space, 1729 29th Avenue Southwest, from April 23rd to May 5th. Here's our conversation. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
It's going great, Nathan. How are you?
Doing very well. So this is kind of an interesting project that's going on. This is a musical based on your musicals.
It is. Yeah, it's also celebrating the 15th anniversary of the very first Forte show back in the little Pump House Theater. And so a lot of the material is drawn from shows that I wrote previously for the company.
So where did this all begin with Forte Musical Theater Guild?
It started because I was writing musicals and no one was doing new musical theater in Calgary. And I was frustrated. I was a frustrated writer who was not having opportunities to get things produced. I had stuff that had been done in Philadelphia and in London, England, and in New York, but never in my hometown. So I thought that there needed to be a company here that was doing new musical theater, and that's why I started the company.
And so I'm familiar with your work from the Naughty But Nice Christmas show. Can you tell our listeners, among what other things have you done?
I've done a number of... Naughty But Nice is a review-style show, so it shows around a theme. So that's all about our somewhat ambivalent relationship with the holidays. And I've done a couple others that were like that. So did a show called Touch Me, Songs for a Disconnected Age. That was how technology can bring us closer together and make us feel further apart. And then a review with Lunchbox Theater called Lest We Forget, about how we're all affected by conflict and war. But so those are the review style shows. But I've done a number of scripted musicals that tell a story. Jeremy de Bergerac was one that became Crossing Swords. I've written a couple for Storybook Theater. The Urban Jungle Book was one. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas was the other one. And I also wrote a show about the daughter of Rasputin called Maria Rasputin Presents. So
you write all sorts of varied subject matter. What is it like? I'm trying to ask, like, what is it like being a songsmith that covers the wide range of what humans can do on stage? How challenging is that?
I feel like the inspiration always leads the process in a way. So like when I was interested in the character of Maria Rasputin and found out that she escaped Russia after the revolution and became a circus performer, like that really inspired me to do music that was more set in a circus milieu, right? So that affected that. Whereas when I did the Urban Jungle Book about a foster kid, it had a much more contemporary sound and much more pop. So I would say whatever is inspiring me and whatever I'm basing the material on it creates the language of the show.
So this new play is called Buy Me a Drink, Joe, and it celebrates your songbook.
Yeah, it was originally going to be another review show, sort of like, Side by Side by Sondheim or whatever, where it's like, okay, here's a bunch of songs that I've written. But we workshopped it in October and then again in January, and the director and the actors were really pushing me to make it more my story, because a lot of the songs that I've written, doesn't matter if it's for Maria Rasputin or a foster kid or, the Paper Bag Princess, a lot of the songs are drawn from my own personal experiences. So they were encouraging me to really tell my story about how I came to be a music theater writer. And I realized, yeah, a lot of these songs are sort of deeply personal. So
could you give us an example? I'm kind of interested how you can put your own personality in something that you're essentially kind of a, um, you know, writing for a different purpose, you know, for a stage play. How does it, you know, interact with your own self?
Okay, sure. Like, I wrote a show called Crossing Swords about a group of high school students doing a production of Cyrano de Bergerac. And in one moment, they're separately singing about how the drama room is home to them. So it's a song called Home to Me, and how they found their people, they found their place that they belong. And that was very much my experience in high school, was that I you know, I think I was a bit of a loner until I found that group of people that supported me and recognized what I had to offer. So that's one example. The other one is in The Paper Bag Princess, after the dragon has destroyed the princess's castle and she's lost Ronald and she goes on her quest, she sings a song called Face Your Dragon. But that was really inspired kind of by the end of my marriage and feeling like my life had fallen apart, and how was I going to work through that?
Buy Me a Drink, Joe runs from April 23rd to May 5th at C-Space, 1721 29th Avenue Southwest. Tickets can be found at fortemusical.ca. Now, I don't know too much about musical theater itself. I was interested to see the phrase book musicals. You've done 10 book musicals. Could you tell us what that means?
Yeah, a book musical means that the songs alternate with script. So certain musicals like Les Mis or Phantom of the Opera are sung through. So there's no, they don't stop for dialogue. Or the review style shows that I've done don't have any book, really. They don't tell a story through the script. But book musicals have a alternate between script and song.
And so, understanding that Buy Me a Drink, Joe, is they've turned C-Space basically into a piano bar wherein you're the center figure. So is this, would you consider this a book musical?
Definitely is a book musical, because it alternates with scenes, and it's kind of, it's not kind of, it is the story of my life from high school till the year 2007 when I opened a show at the New York Musical Theater Festival.
Wow. Okay, so give us an idea of how the show is going to progress. I'm kind of picturing, you know, you're playing at the piano and then talking about your life, or surrounded by characters who are talking about your life.
Yeah, it's as you walk into the theater, I'll be there playing basically a cocktail piano set, but all the music that I'll be playing before the show is drawn from my influences. So, you know, when I was in high school, I was playing a lot of Billy Joel and Elton John, but also musical theater, and so those will all be covers, like you would hear at any sort of piano bar, and there'll be cocktail tables, and you can go up to the bar and grab a drink and have a seat and listen, and then once we get into the show proper, I welcome people and then say, you know, we're gonna tell you the story of how I got here. And there is an actor who plays a younger version of me, and Alison Lynch plays a character named Donna, who sort of represents all of the women in my life. And then Jason Lemon plays a character called David, who represents sort of all the men in my life. So they're one single character for the purposes of the story, and it just tracks. Yeah, through high school to my relationships with both of them, and up into opening a show at the Julian Miles Theater on West 55th Street.
Wow. So you definitely have enough stuff that you can do this sort of autobiographical play. Can I ask you, you know, what kind of encouragement did you get to make this? I imagine it must have been, you know, perhaps slightly embarrassing to think about doing something about your songbook, even though it is fairly large by now.
Yeah, it was a little intimidating, and it still is, I would say. But the thing is that the actors who worked on the workshop were just so lovely and warm, and I wasn't sure if anyone would be interested. But, you know, we would kind of get into a story time with Joe, where I'd tell them a story, and they're like, that should be in the show. Or I'd talk about certain aspects of musical theater, about how at this point in a musical you need this sort of song. And they're like, oh, well, that should be in the show. And so it just evolved out of our working through these songs and the discussions about how they came to be.
Now, if there's something that you would like the audience to take away, you know, knowing about you and about the effort to make musical theater, what would you be able to maybe boil it down to here?
I think it's not even specific to musical theater. I think it's it's a general life lesson that I think a lot of us might take some time to learn, and that's your best path is to be your most authentic self.
That was my interview with Joe Slabay of Forte Musical Theater. Buy Me a Drink Joe is playing at Sea Space at 1729 29th Avenue Southwest from April 23rd to May 5th. Tickets can be found at fortemusical.ca. Now here's the title track.
Hey buddy, don't I know you? You remind me of a kid I used to know.
Hey buddy, don't you remember me? 'Cause 18 years is really not that long ago. Buy me a drink, Joe. The music's playing softly and the tavern lights are low. Why not dig into your songbook and we'll do a little show? So buy me a drink, Joe.
Buy me a drink, Joe. 'Cause when you walked into the bar and didn't even say hello, I was set to say, who needs ya? But tonight's been kinda slow, so buy me a drink, Joe. It's been a long time since we both stayed out late, since the night you walked right out that door and said I'm going straight. But for down and outs like you and me, some things are just innate. So it's in this seedy dive you linger, twist the wedding band around your finger. Buy me a drink, Joe.
For those crazy nights we shared,
and for the secrets that I know.
Just a small initial payment to the people that you owe.
So buy me a drink, Joe. I know we'll want to keep this civil, so you know what I think. You better buy me a drink, Joe.
On Saturday, April 27th, at 1 p.m. at the Globe Cinema, the Calgary Underground Film Festival presents a free, live script reading of an upcoming creature feature comedy called Little Friggers. I spoke with screenwriter Braden Brickner about this creation and what to expect from such a performance. So I'm joined right now by Braden Brickner. You are the screenwriter of Little Friggers.
I am, yeah.
What the heck is this creature feature about? What are we looking at here when I see this cartoon cat holding a gun looking like it's out of Aliens?
So you're looking at one of the fucknoids. Her name is Lob. She's the leader of this trio of commandos that crash land on Earth after they've been searching for this escaped bioweapon. And this bioweapon has landed outside the town of Bonner's Butte, which is a town that has banned swearing because swearing is bad and swearing infects our children's minds as far as the adults in the town are concerned. So the Friggers, who love to swear, have to navigate a town that is banned swearing and team up with a local kid named Riley, who acts as their guide in this censored world, I guess. And they have to fight this monster by the end.
Now, what we're talking about here is a live script reading that the Underground Film Festival is going to be having. It's free. And I'm just kind of curious about what you envision this to be like.
I see, like, there'll be 10 folks up on stage, reading various parts. We have a reader. We're going to have music being played. Obviously there's an audience. There's going to be a lot going on, and there's going to be, kind of more, like, obviously you're not watching a movie, but there's going to be visual elements and definitely a lot of acting involved and a lot of jokes and hopefully visual kind of descriptions of the insane situations that are happening in the script. And it's generally going to be a lot of fun. I've been in table reads before. They're very informative from the writer's perspective, but also they should be fun for the readers and those of us who are listening as well.
So since we're doing a table read, you're still in the beginning processes of creating this film. Can you give us an idea of like where exactly are you at with this?
We are in the kind of pitching financing stage. So we've written a few versions of the script and also a few different versions of the budget. We took it to some markets last year to pitch there, and we're continuing to shop it around. So,
and yeah. Calgary Underground Film and the group that is going to be checking this out, this is probably a pretty good sounding board, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to share it with all the filmmakers and the folks at Calgary Underground Film Fest.
Now, before we start the mics rolling, you were talking a little bit about what kind of creature feature this is. So we're talking about like practical effects, is that right?
Yeah, it's Little Friggers is a puppet-centric, puppet-heavy film. So all the creatures that we're going to meet at the table read are envisioned as puppets, whether they be suits, so the larger monster that they end up fighting at the climax of the film would be a man in a suit, similar to like something out of Power Rangers or a kaiju. Whereas the Friggers themselves will be like hand puppet sized or something of that nature, like 14 inches tall about. But yeah, there'll be puppeteers voicing them in the room.
What inspired you to make this sort of film? Is it the group you're in? Have you always wanted to make something that's like this? I mean, to preface the question, I see that from your past experiences, you've done the shooting of Dan McGraw, so something that's rather quite interestingly solemn in comparison to this.
Yeah, I mean, so myself and my producing partner, who's also the director, David Hyatt, this was a few years ago now when we first started talking about this project or what to kind of write next. And I wanted to write something that David could really lean into and really find something in as his first directorial feature. So I've been writing this for him and with him as we've developed it. David is, he grew up Mormon, so there's this element of not swearing and of kind of censoring oneself, and we wanted to really play with that, but we also wanted to play tonally with what we are both really into in terms of like the shows we watched as kids and the horror movies we like and action movies. So the Power Ranger stuff really plays into that, Ninja Turtles. And also something we really talked about early on were kind of family educational films or children's like lesson films, which are kind of like Christian films, Christian kids films, like the Peanut Butter or the Buttercream Gang or No More Baths, stuff like that, where the lesson is really like really present, really upfront. And we really wanted to play with that and kind of lampoon that with something like this. So a lot of those elements coming together, colliding into something where it really ends up being about expression and how we want to talk to each other and how we want to express ourselves to each other.
Yeah, with something like joining the anti-swear squad, you have a lot of room for some satirical messiness.
Yeah, it's very satirical. Very satirical and very... it's really biting in a lot of ways, where we really wanted to kind of take the piss out of that kind of censorship or that kind of like people policing other people.
The free live table reading of Little Friggers is going to be taking place at the Globe Cinema as part of the Underground Film Festival on Saturday, April 27th at 1 p.m. I'm curious, the screening, or sorry, the table read also is saying that there's going to be a Q&A or a discussion afterwards. What kind of feedback are you looking for from an audience here?
I'm looking for, I mean, if I were to, you know, organize a table read as a screenwriter myself and we're in my living room, I'd be looking for stuff like pacing, character, stuff like that. But I think in an environment like this, where it's really audience focused and we're really putting on a show, I think looking for like, does this beat land? Does this joke land? Did we hear laughs? Did this go too far? It's also, I think, on the other hand, this is an opportunity to have the actors ask questions of us as well, or ask the audience. So I think there's a good back and forth there. Like, it's not a Q&A where the audience is asking us. I think we can really have a conversation about what it's like playing or voicing these characters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, so if all goes well, would we be seeing this, you know, at the next Underground Film Festival? Like, what's the next step for people that want to keep their ears to the ground on your progress for the Little Friggers?
I think, that would be lovely if we could have a shot for next April. Keeping up to date with what Cuff is doing each year. I would love for this to play at Cuff if it became a film. I think it's still a couple years down the road, but I mean, fingers crossed that things can happen really fast. Just paying attention to our website. So David and my production company, Beta Force Carbon, we can put updates, or we have put updates on projects on our website and our social media stuff. So yeah, there's keep your eyes peeled on those things.
Now, this is very interesting sounding. I would like to ask, is there anything that I haven't asked you, or anything that you'd like to express to our audience before we go?
I think, and I don't want to, like, I really want people to really have fun with it and enjoy it if when they show up. I want the like pearl clutching a little bit. I find that really fun and funny when I show this to relatives that aren't as okay with curse words. So like, I don't know, bring someone out that might not hear this language often. Maybe that would, you might wake them up a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. Some virgin ears. We'll get some virgin ears in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for talking to me today, Braden. I've enjoyed this.
For sure. Thank you.
The Little Friggers live script reading takes place on Saturday, April 27th at 1 p.m. at the Globe Cinema. This is absolutely free. And now, a musical interlude to celebrate the beginning of spring. Here is a Cole Porter tune as interpreted by Joan Jett and Paul Westerberg.
When the little blue bird, who has never said a word, starts to sing. Let's fall in love. Oh, yeah.
is a mothball.
The chimpanzees in the zoo do it. Some courageous kangaroos do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. I'm sure sometimes on the sly you do it. Maybe even you and I might do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
Joan Jett and Paul Westerberg covering Cole Porter's Let's Do It from the Tank Girl soundtrack. The Black Film Archive at blackfilmarchive.com is the creation of film critic Mia Cade. Described as a living register of black films, it covers all genres, including documentaries and home movies going as far back as 1898. Here on ArtsLink, we like to cover interesting ground using brilliant free resources such as the Black Film Archive, as well as the curation they have in mind. Although you may run into the occasional dead end when it comes to the links, mostly in the form of sign-up pages, I mean, I just want to report on the true free stuff here. Half the time, a quick search will produce the same film from another streaming service with no strings attached beyond ads. For more than a year now, I've had my sights on the 1988 film from the Senegalese director Ousmane Sembene. Having covered his films in the distant past on CJSW, his docudrama about the 1944 massacre at Camp Tiaroy of African infantrymen serving France represents to me a unique World War II film for a couple of reasons. One is an African World War II film with no North American context to grab into, making it an interesting change from what films I usually see. There are also some interesting details that only research into the film has brought, such as how, in this French-language region, the soldiers have been brought in from all across Africa, making for a language problem solved by whatever French each soldier knows. Camp de Tiaroy is the story of the final days of a group of veteran infantrymen being repatriated after serving throughout the African and European theater of war. Some were prisoners in Buchenwald. Some made their way to Dunkirk, only to be denied passage to England. By the time we meet them, they were equals among their white comrades. But this changes in a predictable, shameful way once arriving at the transitional Camp de Tiaroy. First, we see how a now nonverbal soldier named Pays sees the camp through his eyes, barbed wire, elevated guard posts whose rifle-equipped soldiers can look in as much as out. And when the cook is asked about the forthcoming meal, his cheerfully insincere reply is met with a look from the guy stirring the gruel. What made the film interesting to me as a story we know the ending to is the logistics of the situation and our glimpses into how the characters deal with them. While our main character is Paris-educated Sergeant Major Diatta, later in the film, when the soldiers have been denied half their promised pay, a discussion about not using him as the sole delegate to represent the whole was refreshing and an interesting reminder that democracy is active, not passive. Further to that, co-directors Ousmane Sembene and Tierno Fatissau subverted an inspirational speech by Diatta as he describes the horrors of war as a foot soldier to their white superiors. While he describes how extremely in the fight they were, winning the respect of white comrades inches by inches, one of the listeners writes a word on some paper and presses it to the rest. Communiste. If you do check out Camp de Tiaroy, I do want to warn you that it is challenging on a couple of different aspects. For one, there is a full-on depiction of a slaughtering of an animal when they finally go get food of their own, although it was an interesting twist on it because, as they point out, we need to get one of the people of the Muslim faith to slaughter the animal, therefore everyone can eat. And I actually quite enjoyed watching the companionship and camaraderie of these doomed soldiers, also making it a fairly harrowing watch. One aspect of the film which could be seen as an action sequence is in fact completely undermined based on the mournful title track.
Thank you.
My name is Nathan Taylor for ArtsLink on CJSW 90.9 FM, and we'll be coming at you the fourth Monday of next month, which is May 27th.